The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near, at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to Lord Jesus Christ.
I was just on a trip up in Oakland, and the smoke from the fires is very, very visible. And we are in a time where there many are suffering great tragedies. So let's keep them in our prayers. Let's work to support them. And there's many good efforts to go on to relieve some of their suffering. And also consider on the Archdiocesan website of Los Angeles, there's a place to donate through Catholic Charities. But please keep those who are suffering these tragedies in our prayers and in our minds. I know that even myself sometimes, but many I talk to, can look about the world these days, the many tragedies, many shootings, the great turmoil we are in, and some might ask, is this the end of times? It's very clear that at the end of this gospel, Jesus says no one knows, but today's readings, as we come to the end of ordinary time, get ready to celebrate Advent, this weekend and the next couple weekends, we'll be talking about the end of the world. And it's not always a cheery subject, but it's important to talk about. Today's gospel is filled with language that parallels very closely the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, being the good Catholic scripture scholars you are, you know, is one of the prophetic books of the Old Testament. And throughout scripture, the pattern that we see Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled in the time of the Old Testament, but also in Christ, and also in times yet to come. But the pattern of prophecy and fulfillment happens over and over. This prophecy today that Jesus speaks of, he is telling us that he is the one being prophesied to be the Messiah, the one who is like a Son of Man, coming from the clouds of heaven to establish the kingdom of God. And this language that you hear in this reading parallels the language of the book of Daniel, especially chapter 7. In chapter 7, there's a vision given to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon of a statue made of four materials. The head is gold, the chest is silver, the arms or the body are bronze, and then the feet and the legs are made of clay and iron. And then a stone hewn out of a mountain, not by human hands, crashes the statue and then becomes a big mountain that lasts forever. This is a prophecy of the kingdom of God that Jesus often talks about. Even in the time of Jesus, the Jewish people understood this to mean that the four kingdoms that would come before the everlasting kingdom was Babylon, Persia, Greece, and the Roman Empire. And during the Roman Empire would be the Messiah, the one who comes like a son of man, a God, divine figure who has the appearance of man. Jesus, though, has more than the appearance, truly God, truly man, establishing the kingdom of God, which will last forever and encompass the whole world. The prophecy also, in the time of Jesus, people believe, predicted the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. Jesus is telling us and his disciples that he is the fulfillment of this prophecy, and this destruction of the temple will happen in their day. Throughout this Old Testament scriptures, we hear many prophecies of the coming of the Messiah and of the end of the world. Two strains of the prophecies of the end of the world. One of them is referred to as the day of the Lord, a time of great trial and destruction, fire and judgment, a fearful time. The other strain of prophecies is very different, especially the book of Isaiah, that the Messiah and the coming kingdom would be gentle. The lion and the lamb would lay down together, and the Messiah would not smolder or quench a smoldering wick, would not break a bruised reed. And these two prophecies, we believe as Christians, are both fulfilled in Christ, in the two comings of Christ. And so today, prophecy tells us, and our faith tells us, that we live in the end times. And St. Peter tells us in the second letter, chapter 3, throwing a lot of scripture on you, that one day is like 1,000 years with the Lord. And so the thousands of years between the two comings is the day of the Lord prophesied, but it comes in very gently and will climax in a very terrible judgment, time of judgment in the second coming. God is doing this, St. Peter tells us, so that all people will have a chance to recognize what is happening and convert. And so today God gives us prophecies so that we, his disciples, will understand not exactly when, but the big picture, so that we may have faith and persevere through even difficult, struggling times of great trial and stress. And so these are, I believe, brothers and sisters, times of great trial and stress. We're meant to listen to these prophecies and to allow them to strengthen us, because Jesus says heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away. We can trust. We can trust that the prophecies have already been fulfilled, but also they will yet to be fully fulfilled in the second coming of Christ, in which Christ will triumph over sin, death, and evil, and we, his disciples, will be victorious with him. And so this promise is meant to lighten our load. It's so easy to look out at the world and become filled with fear, filled with anxiety, filled with anger, division, and righteous indignation. I don't know, kind of coming up with different things. But there's many different emotions. And the message for us Christians is there's a purpose for this time. And it turns out that suffering and trial is really the method God has chosen to purify us. Right? It's easy to depend on things of the world, our wealth, our comfort, our riches, our whatever it may be, our own strength. But when those things are taken away, it's very painful. But that forces us to trust only in God. And that's the method God has chosen to use for sinful human beings. Sounds cruel, but God knew that that's the way our hardened hearts could be addressed. And God did not leave us to go it alone. He joined us in that suffering. And so the prophecy of Daniel, the prophecy Jesus takes today, prophesies also that he will suffer and die. Because God enters into our suffering first to allow it then to be something that we can then join God in, who's already gone through it and triumphed and victored over it. And so it does not have the power to crush us, those who depend on God, and it becomes our way of salvation, the way we trust in God. And so just like the Christ suffered before he rose, so too the body of Christ, the church, it is prophesied, will go through suffering and difficult times before we rise. The image Jesus gives us says, learn the lesson from the fig tree that in the midst of winter, it blossoms and then becomes a tree. That's a powerful image that is a positive image. It's not like the glass is half empty. It's like the glass is half full. Jesus is saying, when it looks difficult and things are very tough, trust that a brighter day is coming, because from these difficult times, I will bring victory and renewal of my church. And so today we are challenged as Christians to have that trust in God, to persevere through difficult times, no matter what might be happening in our lives. And we're challenged to work for the kingdom and the advancement of God's kingdom, but not be discouraged when we see great disappointments. For God is telling us that we will be victorious in these times, and we must persevere and have faith in him. St. Peter actually tells us exactly this in 2 Peter chapter 3, where he said, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. He goes on further and says, the delay of the second coming or the day of the Lord is not God being slow or weak. It's because of God's mercy, and he wants all people to be saved. That gives us our mission, to have faith and courage in these difficult times, but also to work for the coming of the kingdom, to work for that kingdom of God spreading, to have more people come to the Lord, to work for justice, right, and relieve the sufferings of others, but not do it in a way that's angry or filled with righteous indignation, political ideology, but to trust that our efforts will be used by God to bring about the kingdom and to bring and show his love. And so all these problems and difficulties become opportunities to work together and show God's love. And so, brothers and sisters, let us trust that the Lord is still with us, and he will bring victory from our difficult times, and that we must be loving, work for the fullness of his kingdom, but with a healthy detachment to know that he will bring it about. And amongst all, we must be faithful to our prayer and our spiritual life, trusting in the Lord, for his words are eternal, and we can trust that when heaven and earth still pass away, he will be present, and we will be victorious with him.